Hey all, thanks for joining me as I continue on this journey. The third in our series of Welsh Rulers deals with a man who gives his name to a set of laws, as well as a health board in South Wales. I am, of course, referring to Hywel Dda, the only Welsh prince ever to have been called the Good or Da. He was born in 880 in a location that is still unknown. His full name was Hywel Ap Cadeth, making him the son of Cadeth ap Rhodri, who in turn was Rhodri Mawr's second son. By 904 AD, Hywel was already king of Dyfed. His marriage to Elin Virch Llywarch gave him a claim to her father's kingdom when he died, leaving no male heir behind. Then, in 911 AD, Hywel's father Cadeth died, bequeathing his kingdom to his two sons, Hywel and Clodagh. For 9 years, the two brothers ruled jointly, but in 920 AD, Clodagh died, leaving Hywel to rule alone. His kingdom was now comprised of Dyfed, Ceredigion, and Ystrad Tui. And at this time, the king of Gwynedd was Idwal Voel, and both Idwal and Hywel had previously met, campaigned together, and both visited and paid homage to the king of England, Æthelstan. The two men were actually cousins. However, when Æthelstan died in 939 AD and Edmund took over, Idwal feared that the Saxons would support an invasion of Gwynedd by Hywel. So Idwal and his brother Elised launched a surprise attack on Saxon forces in Wales that ended terribly for the two men, as both were killed. Excuse me. Whether or not Hywel intended to invade Gwynedd was now irrelevant. The reigning king of Gwynedd and his brother were now dead. Hywel, not wasting time, entered Gwynedd with his army and took the crown for himself, driving Idwal's sons Iago and Ieuaf out. By 942 AD then, Hywel is now the ruler of all of Wales, apart from Gwent and Morgannwg, and he would continue to rule this area until his death in 948 AD. Hywel was also responsible for the creation of the Kingdom of Deheubarth, and to this day, Dinnevuil Castle remains a standing testament to the Dinnevuil family efforts to make the south rather than the north the seat of Welsh power. And the House of Dinnevuil would continue to rule into the 13th century. Now, we mostly know Hywel for his laws. It's the reason why he has the epithet Dda. The Cyfraith Hywel, as they are known in Welsh, are attributed to him. But we don't have any surviving manuscripts from that time. Hywel's name is repeatedly mentioned in the prologues to the laws, though. And the story goes that Hywel gathered experts in law from throughout his kingdom in the years between 942 and 950. And they met at a place called Tŷ Gwyn ar Daff in Dyfed, which is now thought to be near Whitland. Their aim was to revise and codify the laws of his kingdom so he could apply them across his lands and not have to use different laws in different territories. The manuscripts were divided into three books, the first covering the law of his daily court, the second on the law of the land, and the third on the custom of each one. Hywel also had three copies made of these books, so he could have one set wherever he was travelling, another in Dinnevuil, and another copy at the court in Aberfraw. This meant that throughout Wales, the authority of the law was readily available. Hywel's laws are wide-ranging and cover a huge amount of topics. I would recommend going out and having a look at them for yourselves in some form. The laws have been described as relatively progressive, especially in the way it dealt with women in comparison to existing laws in Saxon England, for example. Women under Hywel's laws had more rights even when married, which was a process that usually meant the loss of whatever small rights they had in the first place. The laws also confirmed the right of succession through gavelkind, meaning that whilst the crown was passed down to the eldest son, the king's lands had to be divided equally between his sons, including illegitimate sons. The impact this had on the unified strength of the Welsh kingdoms to withstand invasion was probably catastrophic. Compensation was also a huge part of the laws of Hywel. Most breaches of the law would be punishable by fines called galeras. This was essentially the concept of blood money, murder was considered a crime against the family of the victim rather than the state, for example. And lesser crimes like assault and theft could result in fines, but those of a lower social standing, such as slaves or serfs, were also liable to lose the offending limb. Ahul undertook a pilgrimage in 928 AD, and is one of the only Welsh princes to do so successfully. His motives for this are unknown, other than perhaps he wished to do so for his own religious reasons, although it has also been suggested that he was following the example of the Anglo-Saxon king, Alfred. Perhaps it was on this journey and in his time in Rome that inspired Hywel to codify the laws of Wales, although others have argued that King Athelstan provided the impetus. The Anglo-Saxons were the first people in Northern Europe to write administrative documents in their own vernacular, and more legal texts survive from Athelstan's reign than any other 10th century Anglo-Saxon king, suggesting he was an avid legislator. It could be feasible that Hywel was inspired by the commitment of Athelstan. Certainly, it would appear the two men had a close relationship. The nature of this relationship has been debated extensively by leading historians. As far back as 1911, the historian J.E. Lloyd, the author of A History of Wales from the Earliest Times to the Edwardian Conquest, described Hywel as an admirer of Wessex. Similarities between the two were clear. Both were kings, both men had a strong emphasis on law, and both minted coins, although Hywel was given permission by Athelstan to use his mint to mint his own coins, and Hywel even named one of his sons Edwin, an Anglo-Saxon name. It can certainly be claimed that Hywel was a big admirer of Anglo-Saxonism and Athelstan himself, and certainly some of his contemporary subjects did not like the apparent coziness of the relationship. There are some in Wales now who consider Hywel to be a form of sellout. It can also be argued that Hywel was nothing more than a realist and saw his position for what it was. Hywel was presented with an English king who ruled pretty much the whole of modern England, had a stable hold on the throne, and so could easily be an insurmountable enemy. It is really no different to the actions of many other Welsh princes and kings who have faced a much larger enemy on their borders or to their east. Hywel had worked himself into a position of primacy within Wales, and he could have seen a good relationship with Athelstan as one of the safest ways to maintain that. Personally, I find it too easy to criticise Hywel for accommodating the Anglo-Saxon presence and claiming that he should have been a force of resistance. These people conveniently ignore the fact that continued or excessive open resistance to Athelstan may have resulted in him being deposed, imprisoned, or even killed. Furthermore, Athelstan had proven himself willing to use diplomatic means to settle disputes, as in 928 AD, a border dispute was settled that fixed the border between Anglo-Saxon England and Wales at the Wye in Monmouthshire. Therefore, it seems unlikely that Hywel felt his position was under significant threat. So why, in modern parlance, rock the boat? His death in 948 AD split his kingdom between his two sons, Owain, Rhodri, and Edwin, meaning Gwynedd was reclaimed by the sons of Idwal Voel. Hywel's laws are undoubtedly his finest legacy and remained with the Welsh until 1535. And the Laws in Wales Act, when English law completely superseded Indigenous Welsh laws. However, not only did Hywel's laws provide a legal framework for Wales, they also helped maintain a national consciousness and unity throughout the difficult period of the Middle Ages, when Wales came under increased pressure from English aggression. The last words on Hywel the Good will go to possibly the finest historian of Wales, John Davies, who writes, "In the age of Hywel, the essential attribute of a state builder was ruthlessness, an attribute that Hywel possessed." Well, guys, thanks for listening. There was a bit more ground to cover there, and I ventured a few opinions of my own in writing this. Hopefully a slightly longer recording as a result, but hopefully one you'll still enjoy. And hopefully see you again next week as we look at the life of another Welsh ruler. Diolch yn fawr.
Hoi Jan.